Opinions given by the individual host and their guests do not necessarily reflect those of Para-X, its affiliates, or its sponsors.
Step outside of your comfort zone. See the world with a whole new perspective. Join us and experience the unexplained on the Paranormal View.
And welcome everybody right here to the Paranormal View on the Para-X Radio Network. I want to thank everybody for taking the time to be with us tonight. Those here in the chat room and those listening from around the world, we appreciate each and every one of you. If you are listening from somewhere else around the world and you'd like to come join these people here in the chat room, you come over to para-x.com, click on the chat now button, and just follow the instructions and you'll be right in with all these wonderful people. You'll be able to chat with them, chat with us, and ask questions. If you do have questions though later and you don't want to come to the chat room, you can still ask a question by sending it to theparanormalview@gmail.com and just put attention question and we will get those answered for you. Great show lined up for tonight. Let's see here. We have with us Barbara Duncan.
Hello, everybody.
And we got Jeffrey Gould.
Hello, hello.
All right. And got a great guest. Going to have a whole lot to chat with. And I'm going to let... have we got something going on before we introduce the guest?
Oh, God.
I can't think of anything coming up right offhand because
okay. I
was in Gettysburg a couple weeks ago and that's passed. So,
well, my screening for my short film went over really well the other night. Everyone was getting notes for their films and we were just getting high praise and kudos. And everyone was like, "Oh my God, you know, knocked it out of the park." And we're like, "Yay! Let's hope film festivals think that."
Well, that sounds good then. All right, Jeff, why don't you go ahead and introduce our guest for tonight?
Yes, well, exactly. Well, tonight our guest is a returning guest, actually, our old friend Bruce Tango, whose bio isn't coming here. There we are. Of TAPS, or formerly of TAPS, I should have asked before the show, and an occasional guest on the TV series Ghost Hunters, often with his son Dave. A highly decorated and retired police officer from Elizabeth, New Jersey. At 19 years old, Bruce was the youngest member ever to join the force during his 25 years, of which he was a trained sniper with a SWAT team. And he's been interested in the far more interesting subject of the paranormal, and he's been hunting for ghosts since he was 16 years old. And having had near-death experiences, Bruce is searching for answers to many questions involving ghosts and the paranormal. So welcome back, Bruce Tango. Yay!
Thank you, guys. Nice to be here. What a crowd. What a crowd.
I'm not sure I've ever been to Elizabeth. I grew up in Pompton Plains and Montclair and Verona, up a little north of there, but...
You're not missing anything, Jeff.
I know. I was resisting making a reference that it was albeit Elizabeth, you know.
There's some nice sections, but... I mean, I was born in Elizabeth, and I lived there, I guess, until I was about 8 years old, and I moved to Linden. And it's one of the biggest cities in New Jersey, and it's, you know, the police force was like around 400 guys, and it's home. Well, Linden's my home, but it, you know, brings memories to me. I as a police officer working there for a little over 25 years, but in general, you're really not missing. You're not missing much.
Yeah, it was mostly industrial, isn't it?
Well, no, there's some nice stuff here, but it's industrial. And if you're driving through Elizabeth, most people speed up a little bit.
Yeah, it's like everybody makes fun of Newark, and I'm like, isn't Newark like nothing compared to Elizabeth?
No, Newark is right next to Elizabeth, and to be honest, Newark is probably a little worse. About this, you know, they're sort of similar cities, Newark being a little larger.
I never had a problem being in Newark. I used to go down there all the time to take the PATH train into the city.
Oh, yeah. When was the last time you were there?
Oh, goodness, decades. I've been living out in Hollywood since before the turn of the century.
Well, you talk about a social shock. You go back to Newark now. I don't know. It'll be a little different.
Jeff, positive or negative?
Probably negative. Unfortunately, because when I was a young man, a little boy. I remember my mom taking me there, and it started declining then, but it was still a little bit nicer. They had some, great shopping there and some things, and they're trying to do good things over there. They got some arts buildings, and they had a baseball field and stuff where a lot of stars go to the, I forget what it's called, but it's performing arts type thing. So it's they're trying, but
well, now,
a nice place to visit, but I wouldn't want to live there.
Wouldn't want to live there, huh? You are having something come up here soon, and it deals with the Octagon House in Franklin, Kentucky. Why don't you tell people about the event that you're going to be doing?
Yeah, well, thanks, Andy. It's the Octagon Hall Museum in Franklin, Kentucky. Now, the Ghost Hunters did a show there. In fact, there's been a few television shows that featured the Octagon Hall. It's a real cool place. Me personally, I love Kentucky. I've done a few events there, one with Johnny Zaffis and another one with Adam and Amy. So I've been there several times, and the plantation is beautiful. And I've developed quite a friendship with the gentleman, Billy Bird, that runs the building, and another friend, Keith Fournier. And there's just a bunch of people, and I've been dying to go back and say hello, and but this place is really, really different. They call it the Octagon Hall because of the eight sides, and it was built, it was finished in 1859. A gentleman by the name of Andrew Jackson Caldwell built it, and he wanted something different, and that's what he came up with. But I've done events, I've done EVP sessions there, and one of the coolest, now in my time, the thing that I remember the most from doing the events there is the first time I was there, and it was just starting to get dark. I was about 15, 20 yards away from the back of the building. There was an extension where the old kitchen used to be, and the door leading out to that section was lit, but the room itself was dark. But long story short, I'm sitting on the back of the tail of a pickup truck talking to my friend Keith, and he was looking at me, and I'm staring at the back of the building, because coming out of the lit area, the house itself was a tall, it was like a guy about 6'3", dressed in a black leotard from head to toe, very tall and very skinny. Now, the first thing that runs through my mind, I says, maybe they're trying to play some tricks on me here or something. So I saw this thing walk by the door, and then it came back. I saw it walk by again, and it actually was kept on sticking its head out the door. It was like playing peekaboo with me. So I got up, and the guy, Keith, said to me, he says, "You see something, don't you, Bruce?" I says, "I sure do." And I kept my eyes on there. And when I got to that room, there was nothing there. And then I go on to find out that this entity is seen all the time. It was the coolest shadow figure or whatever you want to call it that I've ever seen. Most shadow figures I've seen in my lifetime move pretty quick. Not all of them, but this, the way I explain it to people, if you ever saw the movie, it's a great movie, Signs, with Mel Gibson.
Yeah.
Now, remember the part where they're watching, they're showing a part on the news where they spotted the alien and you see him walk across?
That actually had me jump when I saw that.
Yeah. Well, that's exactly what the, except it was all black. It looked like a human, but it was black from head to toe. And it was very, very clear. And it stopped. It was playing peekaboo with me. And I said, I'm going to go see what's going on here. Because, again, the first thing I thought is maybe somebody playing games with me. But that wasn't the case. And like I said, I found that this thing is seen quite often there. But it's a fantastic place. I'm excited. And like I said, it's in Franklin, Kentucky. We're going to be there on May 26th. Just a Saturday, and so if anybody wants to get tickets, you better hurry. So, you know, I'm looking forward to going there. I'm looking forward to seeing some old friends and make some new ones. And
where do you go to actually get the tickets?
Well, you just go to octagongh.eventbrite. Brite.com. That's octagongh.eventbrite.com.
All right. And you have it for two different nights. That's a Friday and a Saturday.
No. We're only going to, something came up. We're only going to do it Saturday night.
Oh.
So, you know, we're looking forward to it. And the plantation is beautiful. They have a slave cemetery. They got all kinds of stuff happening there. They got a lot of artifacts from back then. And, you know, I've seen some great evidence come out of there. A friend of mine sent me some apparitions that were standing in the hallway and took a picture of them. It was pretty cool. So I'm looking forward to it. My son, Dave, and Steve Gonzalez and myself are going to be there, and looking forward to seeing the people. Hopefully a bunch of people will come out.
I was planning on going, but some other things has come up for a lot of hospital bills and stuff, and now it's kind of tight.
That's a shame. But I'll talk to you later about that, Henry. And if you want, I'll write you a note. You know, if you want to. If there's any other reason besides that, don't worry about that. I won't stop you. I'll write you a note if there's anything else going on.
All right. Appreciate that. Let's see. Just want to remind everybody, if you do have questions, you can private chat them to either Ceiling Cat or myself. H. Foister, and we will get those questions over to Bruce. And if you're somewhere else and you got a question, you can send it to theparanormalview@gmail.com. Just put attention question and we will get those answered for you. Let's see here. What is
how long has it been since I've been on the show, Henry? I was trying to remember.
It's been
a couple of years.
Couple years.
Hang on, I actually had that a minute ago.
It's not a big deal, but I was excited to, you know, to come back on. I went out and bought a new suit, got a haircut.
Actually, it was April 4th of 2015.
All right.
All right. Few years.
Yeah. I didn't realize it was that long, but you're welcome to come on anytime you want to.
Oh, I appreciate that, Henry. Yeah. I mean, but every time I come on, I buy a new suit, so don't ask me too many times, okay, pal?
Wow.
I have to never mind.
Well, in between then, there's been a documentary which you have been the focus of, and called The Staring Man.
Yes,
not a book yet, correct? It's just a movie?
No, it's just a movie. Okay. Yeah, I, you know, there's a lot more. Have you seen it, Barb? Have you seen the documentary?
You know, I confess I have not seen it yet. I have to do that.
Okay, if you guys remind me, I'll send you one, and let me know what you think. It's you know, not because it's mine, but I don't think you can find anybody that said a bad word about it. It's pretty interesting. It is a true story. It's a little personal, and after you watch it, just to be honest with you, not everything is in there, and I don't know if I'll ever tell the complete story, but what could be told was told. So, you know,
but it had to be really rough as a child to see this stuff.
Yes, I had a visit from this entity, again from my memory, about three times within a year's period. There was a lot going on in the household, nothing good. At that time, it was my mom and dad and my sister, who was a year. I'm the oldest. I have three sisters. I would have had four, but one passed away. Actually, that's, part of the documentary where my mom lost the baby. And that happened right in front of me, you know, way back when. And this entity showed up three times in my room, and it was quite frightening. And he never said anything, he never did anything, just scared the hell out of me. And in the story, it's more or less explained where I believe, and most people that have seen the story believe, that it was either thriving on the bad things were happening or causing them to happen, because that wasn't a good time for any of us in the household back then. And I'm talking like 59, 60.
Now, when you made the film, or the little DVD, I guess it is,
did
it go back into the house any at all to film that, or you only filmed from the outside and just told the story?
No, what happened, Henry, was we did film from the outside, because originally, the people that lived there, it was actually it's projects, and just to go to show you, it doesn't have to be a big haunted, decrepit house, you know, to be some things happening. But the people that lived there are, you know, it's changed quite a bit, obviously. In fact, when I filmed, again, it's in Elizabeth, New Jersey, and when I filmed, I had to bring some of my old buddies with me that were on duty to make sure there was nothing that was happening. A lot of drugs, a lot of guns that are happening there. And I tried to get into the house. I tried to talk to the people. I told the woman that I was filming I didn't lie to her, but I didn't tell her the whole story, that I was born there, and I was filming a documentary about growing up here, and I wanted to know if I could come in and film. And she thought about it and thought about it, and it was no. I actually offered her money, and then she thought about it a little harder, but the answer was no. So long, you know. But what happened is, no, it gets good. I get a phone call. Evidently, they were going to do some work in the apartment, and the woman says, "Okay, give me the money. I'll let you come in, you and the camera and everything, for 1 hour, or about an hour, and you know, and that'll be it. So I did get the film. Now you got to realize I hadn't been in that room for, well, geez, over 50 something years, and to go back into that bedroom where this was happening was pretty cool. And we did do an EVP session. I was limited just to that room. And when you watch the DVD, something did happen, and it was pretty cool. And joining me was my oldest son, who was also is also a police officer in New Jersey. And he's not like me and his brother. You know, he doesn't like getting involved. He says, I like to leave the dead alone. He actually, he was sort of like the comic relief in this film, because some of the statements he made. But you know, I wanted somebody with me to verify anything happened or hear anything. So it was his first and last experience. And I told him, I said, your brother would be proud of you. And some of the things that came out of his mouth were pretty entertaining. But, you know, he says, I leave the dead alone. They leave me alone, I leave them alone. But I did appreciate him being there. And when he heard the evidence that we got, it sort of stunned him, you know, because he is interested in it, but he doesn't do... You know, he doesn't like to sit in to EVP sessions, or ghost hunting is not his thing. He's done a lot of, he's done a lot of stuff as a police officer, heroic type stuff, but he does not like messing with the dead.
He don't want to mess with the dead, huh?
No, he does. It's actually very funny, the things that he comes up with, you know, during the filming.
Yeah,
you know, I didn't expect anything to happen, you know, but it was cool. And again, I'm not going to tell you what happened. I don't want to ruin it for you, because I will send you the DVD. Is that? And I'm not saying who it was or what it was, but it was pretty cool. I mean, just the being there, Henry. Imagine going when you hear the story or see the story, and it's entirety, the fact that, you know, here I was a little boy around 5 years old, and here I am at that time in my late 50s filming, or about 60, I forget how many years ago we did this, but that was something to get back into that room and, you know, be there. It was something.
Yeah, I've got the DVD. It is a good little movie, documentary. It's filmed very well. Story was real good and very interesting. So,
thank you for that. Yeah.
Now, if somebody asked, after you went back there, did you have any more experiences with that entity at all?
People ask me that all the time, Barb. I have not seen that entity since we left the house.
Nice.
It's never come. And this might sound strange, but I would love to see that entity again. I mean, I don't know if we will show, because I think those type things, they thrive on being, you know, people that fear them. And I have no fear of that thing. I would love for it to show up again, but I don't think it will. Maybe it's just in that place. I don't know. I've yet to see that thing again or anything like it, you know, show up in my bedroom.
I would assume that if it did, it would only be in that apartment.
Probably, Henry, but there's no way of telling.
Right.
But again, I haven't seen it. We moved not too long. It was just in that year's period where you showed up 3 times, and then we moved shortly after that, but didn't have that experience at the other places that we did live until, you know, time came where I was on my own, and I've yet to see that thing.
So you know that.
But I'd love to confront it again.
Yeah.
Believe it or not.
There's this entity that appears sometimes when bad events happen, and nobody quite knows whether or not it's causing it or feeding off of it. But you're familiar with the shadow people called men wearing hats, or the broad brim hats.
Yes, yes.
Did it have a broad brim hat, or was it just like shadow?
No, you know what? I was watching, I was listening to... Marla had a gentleman on her show the other night that talked about, called the Slender Man.
Yeah.
Now, he was totally different. The thing different about him, he had, tentacles and stuff. And when Marla was explaining this to me, I says, I'll keep my staring guy, you know? I mean, he was scary enough. Now, the only thing I could say about, now maybe they'll be all related somehow or come from the same world. I don't know. Nobody really knows, you know, but this thing, you know, I think it did have a hat, and no, not my guy, but the Slender Man. And, you know, there's no different names for these things. My guy was about 6 foot thin, dark. But the thing of it is, and I tell people when I've been telling this story for years, is that, and I said, I wouldn't add this because it sounds like a movie and it's hokey, is that he had a red face. You know, his face was red.
Wow.
It wasn't, and the funny thing of it is, have you ever seen, what the heck is it? I'm sorry, I'm a little tired tonight. About the entity with the little boy. What's the name of that movie?
That could be one of thousands of movies.
No. Well, anyway, it looks quite a bit like this thing because he did have a red face, and I have to tell people I was telling my story long before this movie came out because it's very similar. Actually, Dave and I went to see this movie. And during the movie, Dave would look over at me, and I was pretty quiet. And when we left the theater, Dave looked at me and said, "Dad, it brought back some memories." I said, "It sure did." In fact, they made two or three of the same movie, and I can't.
Was it one of the Was it the Insidious films or Conjuring?
Yes, that's it. I'm just not thinking well. I'm very tired tonight, but.
Okay, Insidious. That's what you got me.
There was the first Insidious. I actually didn't see the other ones, but my guy looked a lot like that, and but he didn't say or do anything. He gestured to me, Henry, if you remember, the third time he gestured to me to come back into the room, but I went back into the bathroom and fell asleep, but. A lot of strange things happening.
Yeah.
But, you know, don't quite know why it's there. The only theory that it was thriving on the bad things that were happening in the household. You know, my mom losing the baby, you know, right in front of me. And, you know, my father was pretty hard man, if you will. And things weren't good. So. But
you didn't have anything happen once you moved out of the apartment or your family left there and went somewhere else, did you?
Nothing like that. No, Henry. You know, that's why maybe it is contained in that house. I don't know. But again, maybe it won't bother with me because, you know, it knows that I am absolutely not afraid of it. You know, I will not cower away. You know, in fact, like I said, as crazy it may seem, I would love to encounter it again, you know.
One must wonder if the people that moved in after you guys moved out, if somebody from those families may have had a problem like that.
I thought about asking them, but the circumstances, to be honest with you, like I said, the family that lived there, if they found out that I was a police officer, it wouldn't be a good thing. Of the sons, three of the sons were, you know, were arrested for guns and drugs and everything else. So I didn't bother. If I ever get a chance, if they ever condemn those places, I would like to go back in there, you know.
Or put them up for sale. Or at least, you know,
well,
if they move
it's,
out.
It's projects. It's okay. Projects. So they were, it's like, you know.
It wasn't
city blocks long.
I said it wouldn't be safe to go into the projects.
Well, if they were, you know, they did, there's a bunch of projects in Elizabeth. Some of them have been destroyed and they build up on it, but this is still going, this one. But, you know, when I went there, as you saw in the film, you got drug paraphernalia outside. And, you know, it's a shame because when I was a little boy, the area was really, really nice. It was the type of area where you could just, you know, the ladies would sit out in their chairs in the summer and, you know, you rode your bike and stuff, but it's quite different now.
It's the same. It's the same way it was where I used to live growing up. You go over there now and the whole place is run down. The house that I grew up in, it's all run down. Most of it is rental properties. People don't buy them to fix them up. They just pay cheap rent and not worry about nothing. So everything just runs down like that. I guess.
Yeah, it's unfortunate. It really is because, you know, and, you know, they've knocked down a lot of things in Elizabeth, like projects, and they build these nice places and, you know, they're very expensive and, it's not the type of place I would buy an expensive condominium or anything like that in the area.
Right.
So I don't know what they're I don't know what their thinking is over there. It's not a, you know, it's as a police officer, it's we in our county we have 21 cities. This will show you the difference. We have 21 cities. In our county, which is Union County in New Jersey. And our police department handled more jobs in 1 year than all the other towns put together. Right now, I think they're up to like 500,000 jobs a year or more. It's unbelievable. It's one job right after the other. There's no stopping, and there's a lot of guns and, you know, gangs and everything else. It's not a good area to work in.
We have a question from the chat room. I'm going to get in here, and it comes from Kat wanting to know about the face of this entity and whether or not it had discernible features or whether it was just like a blobby shaped face.
No, it had features, and the face was red. You know, I actually... Henry, if you remember, I hired, in the documentary, I hired one of the foremost experts, forensic artists, who actually drew a picture of what I saw as a little boy. People will get to see exactly what I saw, because the gentleman... it was from the New Jersey State Police. He worked on many high profile jobs, murders and such during his career. And he was kind enough to do this for me. And he brought this thing back to life for me. And during the documentary, towards the end, you will see exactly what I saw as a little boy. First as a sketch, then colorized. No, he had very dark eyes. You know, his face was red and very similar to Insidious. Very similar.
Now, if someone wants to get a copy of that, can they get it like at Amazon?
Well, I used to have a site up there, but just had them. I got a, you know, I've sold a bunch of them over the years, and I really haven't set all that up. But if anybody wants to get a hold of me on Facebook, and maybe we could arrange something, okay?
All right. That sounds good. Yeah. You can contact Bruce
is
on Facebook.
Is it still on storenv.com?
I'm looking that up now. The page isn't pulling up yet.
It still might be up for
it
sale,
is, yeah.
But the best way, if you want, is if we're friends or friend me, and then send me a private message, and we'll work something out.
All right. It's close to for us to take a quick break. So I think that's what we'll do. And when we come back, we will talk more with Bruce. And if you got questions, you can private chat them to either Ceiling Cat or Henry Foister, and we will get those answered for you. So, Jeff, you want to take us out for
We are listening to the Paranormal View on para-x.com with hosts Henry Foister, Ceiling Cat Barbara Duncan, and myself, Jeffrey Gould, with tonight's returning guest, Bruce Tango. So stay tuned for more of the Paranormal View after the break.
It's always time for the dead to shine in Hollywood. The legendary Dearly Departed Tours has stepped up their ghostly game by offering the Hollywood Ghosts and Legends Walking Tour. Dearly Departed has long been an orb of hope in the paranormal world, having been featured on television's Haunted History and Haunted Collector. Their terrible tales have been made infamous in Marla Brooks' The Ghosts of Hollywood books. The new Ghosts and Legends Tour is a 10-block, 70-minute dusk-time stroll down the boulevard of broken dreams. You'll be guided through the golden age of Hollywood and see where the unearthly Bela Lugosi, Lon Chaney, and the calamitous Black Dahlia are still said to linger. You'll see Hollywood's gothic hotels, legendary theaters, and restaurants, never forgetting their permanent occupants. No stranger to investigations, Dearly Departed Tours has first-hand knowledge of some of these hauntings. For details of the Hollywood Ghosts and Legends Walking Tour, find Dearly Departed Tours on Facebook, dearlydepartedtours.com, or call 1-855-600-DEAD.
Are you psychic? Do you often have dreams that come true? Do you have an interest in hypnosis or astrology? If you'd like to learn more about classes, events, and books on metaphysics, then go to our website, www.theartofmediumship.com. This is Elaine Kosmaskis, director of the New England School of Metaphysics and author of The Art of Mediumship.
Hey there. I don't know if you've heard, but there's a great new radio show on Para-X. Two hosts, 1 hour, and too much fun. Stephanie and Heidi not only talk about the latest goings-on in the supernatural worlds, they live it. They want to hear from you. They want to help you understand and guide you. And they want you to tune in. So, grab a friend or come alone to gather around that metaphysical table with Heidi and Stephanie. If you're interested in the worlds of the unseen, tune in to The Gathering Radio Show, Tuesdays at 9 p.m. Eastern on Para-X Radio.
Hi, this is Mike from Mr. G's Ice Cream Store in Gettysburg, the most haunted ice cream store in town. Stop in and see us next time you're around. We feature 16 flavors of homemade ice cream made right here in the store. Look forward to seeing you.
Marla's Sacred Cauldron. This is the legendary artifact that has been whispered about in hushed tones for hundreds of years, and now it's mine! All mine!
Who dares defile the sanctity of my castle walls? Step away from the cauldron, you impertinent, muddy metal maltworm.
Never! I've spent half my lifetime trying to discover your age-old secret of stirring the cauldron!
Oh, for Merlin's sake, that's no deep, dark secret. Just tune into the Para-X Radio Network Thursday nights at 9 o'clock Eastern for more cauldron stirring than you can shake a wand at.
Oh, well, in that case, I guess I don't need to take up any more of your time, so I guess I'll be going!
Not just yet. We've got a little unfinished business to take care of.
That's Stirring the Cauldron with Marla Brooks every Thursday night at 9 p.m. Eastern on the Para-X Radio Network.
Whether you're listening at home, at work, or anywhere, thanks for making Para-X part of your day. Your source for everything paranormal, Para-X.
And welcome back, everybody, right here to the Paranormal View on the Para-X Radio Network. I want to thank everybody for being with us tonight, those listening in the chat room and those listening from around the world. And speaking from listeners from around the world, Barbara, where do we have listeners at tonight?
Tonight they're coming in from all over the United States, the United Kingdom, Canada, Australia, Singapore, and Vietnam is joining us.
All right. That's a new one, isn't it? I haven't seen them. Yeah. But welcome. I'm glad everybody is listening tonight and hope everybody likes the show. Appreciate it. So we have with us Barbara Duncan.
I'm still here.
And Jeffrey Gould.
Hello, hello.
And our guest, Bruce Tango.
Yes. You know, Henry, we were talking about what I named the Staring Man. You know, for purposes of making a documentary, I really never named it. But when I was contacted, to make the film, you know, we named it, and I came up with the name Staring Man. But you know, when these things happen, you tend to think that you're all alone, and there might be a couple people, but and as I was saying before, I've heard many people explain similar experiences, and their entity was different. You know, maybe they didn't have a red face, maybe they had a hat with everything. Oh, you know, maybe these, you know, the other night, Thursday night, Marla's guest was talking about the Slender Man who had tentacles and a hat and a very, very creepy. But what I have found out, once people found out about the film and my story, is that I've had hundreds, and I mean hundreds of people contact me and ask me questions about the Staring Man. And some were very, very similar. Some of their experiences were their entity had a red face, and some were different, didn't have a red face. Some had hats, so there is really no set answer, you know, but what is astounding is that this is, whether this is something that the brain produces, but to me, this experience was real. And again, it was three times during a year's period, and like I said, you saw the film, Henry. When I the third time when he appeared to me, I walked out of the room finally, and like 45 minutes later, I walked into my room, and he was still standing there, you know, waving to me to come back into the room, which I absolutely didn't, and you understand why. Why I didn't wake up my mom and dad, and I'm not going to get into that right now.
Right.
But there's reasons for that, and you know that's explained in the film.
Okay. Right.
But like I said, there's more to the story. And what else is cool? I'll add this: is that I had, again, remember, I had a sister that was a year younger than I. And when she found out that I was making this film and found out what it was about, she came forward and told me that she also was having experiences. And I never told her about it because my sister would squeal on me in a minute. So I never told her anybody except my grandfather. But you know, it's amazing that she was going through some stuff too, and she wouldn't tell me, and I didn't tell her. So there was stuff happening in there, and it's just interesting. And I've talked, like I said, I've talked to many people from all over the United States and from other countries that have had similar experiences, and it's a phenomena that I'd really like to, you know, research a lot further if given the time.
So she was seeing the exact same thing you were, or was it different?
Well, she was having a different experience. She was seeing something walking past her bed that, where she explains, that looked similar to what I was seeing. But she wasn't seeing the face, she was seeing the back. In other words, it was walking past or walking out of the room or past her room. And I never knew that until the film was almost done. And she was added into the film at a later time, but I thought it was important that we did add it. And you'll hear her talk about those things too.
Yeah, because it's amazing that you had absolutely no support whatsoever. And as a child, that has to do some really interesting things. But, I mean, you're talking as if you want to see it again, as opposed to a child who, you know, I would assume that would have taken it wrong and more of a shell shock, like post-traumatic stress.
Well, I didn't want to see it then, Barb, but I wouldn't have a problem seeing it now, and that's the God's honest truth. And obviously, it's something I never forgot. I mean, I remember that face as clear as, as it was just yesterday. And, you know, that's why I was able to make, we were able to do the copy of his face, or, you know, so, you know, I understand what you're saying, but I had no, didn't want to deal with that years ago when I was a boy, but I wouldn't mind seeing it again.
Oh, yeah.
I'm not that little afraid, I'm not that little boy that's afraid anymore. You know, and that's why I don't think I'll ever see it again. And that's why I don't have problems going into places that are that maybe have that type of problem. And which really doesn't happen too often. And my, you know, as far as the evil stuff, if you will, you know, I'm 64. And, in my 64 years, I might have run across it twice. Once being that instance when I was a little boy, and another time, maybe about 3-4 years ago. Yeah. Something different, though.
So do you have any kind of representation that might, even after all this time, promote maybe airing the show on SIFI, or what they spell Sci-Fi Channel nowadays, or even Discovery Channel, which does a lot of paranormal programming and such like that?
Well, Jeff, that's something we've been talking about. You know, I just have some decisions to make, because I think I should add a few more things, but I don't know if I'm ready to come out with them. But like Henry said, I'm proud of the film, the way it was made. It was filmed, you know, very well, painstakingly, made it very realistic, just like my room was. And, you know, it took us almost a year to film it, from day one to when it was done, about a year. And it was a lot of work involved. You know, I you know, finding the little boy that played me was, I thought was going to be the toughest thing, but it wound up being pretty easy. As soon as I met this little young man, I knew he was the boy, and he did a fantastic job, and we talk quite often, and you know, he's actually done some commercials since he did that film, but he's a very talented young man, nice parents, and so I'll probably see him again soon down the road.
Well, taking a year for a documentary is pretty standard because it's not a narrative fiction. Narrative fiction you can do within usually a month or so, depending on what's required for the to tell the story. But with I mean, I star in a documentary that was done years ago, and it took about, I think, two or three years just for the all the information to be compiled, and then it got edited from there. But I recently saw a documentary from Zach Baggins called Demon House that happened to be playing at a little art house near here, and that art house fortunately has movie pass, so I, you know, got to see it with that. And all I could think of is, you know, well, it's interesting, you know, after all, it's Zach Baggins, and you know anything scares him. So I would really wish that your project, even if it just showed up at, you know, the Arena Cinema at, in Los Angeles, so that I could see it on the big screen. And I can promote the heck out of it.
I'll get it to you, Jeff, really. And, you know, and like I said, we're working on possibly doing something with it, and we'll see what happens. In this business, you don't get your hopes up too much, and it wasn't my purpose to do this. You know, I actually at first didn't even want to do the documentary, because as Henry would tell you, because he's seen it, that it is somewhat personal. You know, and you know, I don't like to vilify my father, but he was a pretty tough individual. And again, so, as Barbara alluded to, you know, for a little, it's pretty sad that you know, a little boy wasn't able to, you know, reach out to his parents. Now, my mom, I love both my parents, but I didn't want my father to know. I was, in other words, this sounds funny. I was more afraid of my father than I was of the entity. And that's why I never woke them up. And that might be hard for some people to understand, but there are a lot of people out there, believe me, that do understand.
My father was the middle of seven children with a very brutal father, to the point that it was like if the dad called the seven into dinner, the seventh one in got beaten because they were the last one. And it got to the point that, and my grandmother was the most open-hearted woman in the world. And at his funeral, she was the only one weeping for him. And as her children tried to convince her, says, his death is not a loss for us. It's a release. And thankfully, every one of those seven children broke that chain of violence, and they were never domestically violent themselves.
Well, there's something similar, but I got you beat. My father, and this is what I mean, is my father came from, now, this is unbelievable, but it's true. My father came from a family of 18.
Wow. Did he never leave the bedroom?
My grand, you know, he had 17 brothers and sisters, you know, and my father was the last to pass. And, but, you know, on a good note, my father, I tell people it took him a lifetime to change. But I did bring him into my house, and we made amends before he passed. And I'm glad I did that. I never thought that was going to happen, but I had a lot of people telling me if I had the chance to do it. And I'm glad I took the advice, because, you know, we got to know each other a little bit too late, but we got to know each other the way a father and son should be.
Which is good.
Oh, yeah. And it's good that a movie like this comes along where children who maybe experienced this, or even adults who experienced this as a child, can think of, oh, yeah, I'm not alone in this. And there's got to be, there's people out there
exactly.
who understand what I'm going through.
Exactly, Barbara. And like I said, I was astounded once the film got out there, and once people, now I would tell this story quite often on other radio shows and such, and the emails and the messages I would get, it just blew my mind. Because you tend to think that you're all alone, you know, when things like this happen. But it's not the case.
Did you have something, Barbara?
We have a question from the chat, and that is, were you feeling a lot of anxiety making the film, and was it sort of like a cathartic process for you to finally tell the story?
Well, it brought back memories, and to be honest with you, I broke down a few times. Once being the part where I was explaining, the only person I ever told about that this incident was my grandfather, Gramps. His name is Bill Chapman. Me and Gramps were very, very close. I was his favorite grandchild. Everybody in the family knew that. Nobody had a problem with it. Just me and Gramps were buddies, and we always were. And he's the only one that I told. And he reacted. I'm sort of sorry I told him, because he reacted. He was worried. I mean, for here's a little guy telling his grandfather that he's seen this thing, and my grandfather was worried. And he used to call me Butch. He says, Butch, don't worry about it. Say your prayers, you know, and God will take care of you and everything. And, you know, I look back now and, I don't know if I, you know, just to help my grandfather, maybe I shouldn't have told him, because I knew he was worried about it, you know, because any grandfather or father or any person, a child came up to you and told you the story, you'd worry a little bit, whatever, you know, and it's not a normal type thing to talk about, you know,
sure.
But Gramps and I were close, and he's the only one I did tell. With the promise he wouldn't tell anyone, and he never did.
At that time, the Catholic Church certainly wouldn't be interested, or any church for that matter, interested in hearing things like this either.
No, that stuff didn't come up. There was nothing back then. Far, you know, very rarely, you know, you didn't have all these shows, and you know, only time you may get something on hauntings or anything, and even nothing like this would be around Halloween. I mean, we had a black and white set with the rabbit ears, and we were lucky to get two or three channels on a set that would work. So my chances of seeing the show even around October were slim. But yeah, these things weren't talked about, and I actually went to Catholic school. You know, I tell everybody, you know, I grew up Catholic, went to church with my grandfather, who was Baptist, and I became a Presbyterian, so I'm all over the place. But, it doesn't matter to me what you call yourself. I am a Christian, but that's me. But, me and Gramps were tight.
Now, you were on Ghost Hunters a few times. What's it like being on a show? And I don't mean just being on the show. I mean, when you go into a place to film, you know, it's totally different than what people actually sees on TV. So what's it really like behind the scenes? How do they go about filming all that?
Well, I actually did, I guess, around seven investigations with them. And for me, it was really, really exciting. Because of my background as a police officer, they involved me. And when they first asked me, I actually told them no. I had told them, Phil, you know, L.A. calls me and says, Bruce, we'd like you to bring you on the show and this and that and everything. I says, well, thanks, but no thanks. And they says, are you sure? And I says, yeah. And they said, well, do you mind asking why? I says, because this is my son's thing. I says, I don't want to step on his toes. This is him and everything. And then he says, okay, thank you for being honest. So, you know, I actually told him no. As much as I would, I wanted to do it, but this was my son's thing. And 15 minutes later, I get a call from my son, Dave. And he says, did they call you? And I said, yes. And they said, well, what did you say? I said, I told them no. He says, Dad, you call them back and tell them that you'll do it. I want you to do it. And I'm glad he did that because I was like a kid in a candy store. You know, just to be able to go to these some of the most haunted places in the country is just amazing. To have the opportunity, and especially with my son, you know, that's something that I'll hold, you know, close to my heart for the rest of my life. And it was a great experience. You know, they said I was a natural. But what happens is the investigations are just like an investigation, that there's just a sound guy and a camera. And you just ignore the camera. But there's a lot of standing around, a lot of prep. But there's a lot of work that goes into filming the show.
Filming
and
anything.
You got to do. Yeah, yeah.
Welcome to my world.
You're doing the, you know, you're doing the interviews, and then when something happens, you know, it's really cool. And I was always lucky because when I was on the show, usually something cool would happen, you know, and it seems to be that all my life, that whenever I got involved in a investigation or EVPs, I'm very lucky when it comes to the paranormal. And, you know, there's theories behind that too, which I won't get into, but, you know, to me, I'm like a kid in a candy store. Here I am at my age, you know, being able to do it. And, just to let you know that, you know, people, Ghost Thompson's will be coming back. We just don't know what network yet.
Oh, really? Well, that's interesting.
Yes. Yeah. They'll be coming back. They're working on a lot of things. And, you know, but, you know, we just don't know what network. And once that's, you know, I'm sure an announcement will be made when that happens. You know, because even we don't know. So, and I was told when they did that, you know, that they'd still be asking me, which I'm excited about as long as I can do it. But, you know, Jay Grant and, you know, all the guys, they nicknamed me Papa Tango, and that's an endearing type nickname, and I love them to death. And but it's very exciting to you know, be involved in them, and it afforded me a chance to go to places I probably would have never been.
I think it's great because you do bring that police sense into an investigation, and it's rather methodical, and it's a little bit more down to earth, I think. What do you think that as a police officer you contribute as a paranormal investigator?
Well, there was a lot of questions that I was asked that you probably didn't hear, you know, that wasn't on the show, but I would explain certain things. We did an episode, last one I think I did, it was in Florida, Homestead or something, and it was an old police department in the courtroom, and police officer got shot that was in the courtroom, and lo and behold, I was able to explain that the court officer would usually stand, you know, on the side of the bench. So I did contribute. It's like doing an investigation, just tweaking it a little bit. It's the same thing, you know, you look into this, you look into that, and then what's left is usually what you have, if you know what I'm saying. And but, you know, I did contribute. I was happy about it. And like I said, every episode that I, something cool happened. You know, my favorite was the Union County Courthouse, which was in Elizabeth. I don't know if you saw that one. It was called Judgment Day. And actually you would see the apparition come out of the wall. It looked like a woman putting her shawl on. It was very, very exciting. And I was glad I was able to set that up for them and be a part of that. It was cool. But it's a lot of fun with them. A lot of hard work. I mean, the travel alone beats the heck out of you. But they're very good at what they do and a bunch of great people.
Well, I usually typecast people as Scooby-Doo characters. You always struck me as Velma, you know, pulling the mask off the monsters at the end going, I knew it was something.
Uh-huh. Ooh, and I thought it was someone in a mask.
Yeah. you know, my son Dave and people that know me well will tell you, I'm good at figuring things out. You know, I'm good at puzzles and I'm always being asked certain questions and usually I get them, but, you know, the trivia type stuff, but, you know, you just gotta be patient. And, I noticed things, even my friend John Zaffis said something to me one time I was with him. He says, I would have never thought about that. You know, I look outside the box and I see things a little different than most people. And I'll catch things that some people might not catch. So I'm happy to say I have contributed, and it was a good feeling to help out.
In the details, actually.
So was there ever any good evidence from a show that actually didn't make it on to the finished episode?
I thought that was usually the case.
We
actually can't show we got something.
No.
To be honest with you, you know, the episodes I did, I think the things that were found were shown. But if they did not show something, there had to be a reason. Either it wasn't allowed. The people that owned the premises might have said, you know, we don't want this. I don't know, but not that I know of to answer your question.
Okie dokie. It's about break time. You guys got any quick questions before we take a break?
Can you lend me $20, Henry? Oh, wait. No, I
I'll email it.
That's my line.
I know. I'm just saying.
It's okay. You can use it anytime you want, Jeff.
All right. I guess we're going to take a quick break. Jeff will take us out, and I'll bring us back. So if you do have questions, private chat them to either Ceiling Cat or Henry Foister. We will get those questions answered for you. So, Jeff, won't you take us out?
Well, you're listening to The Paranormal View on para-x.com with hosts Henry Foister, Ceiling Cat Barbara Duncan, and myself, Jeffrey Gould, with tonight's returning guest, Bruce Tango. So stay tuned for more of The Paranormal View after the break.
Hi, I'm Rosalind Bound, and you are listening to The Paranormal View on the Para-X Radio Network.
Hi, I am John Zaffis, and you are listening to Paranormal View on the Para-X Radio Network.
There's a darkness in the hallway. Voices that seem to come from nowhere. Alone at night, there's a feeling that something or someone is near. Where can you go? Who can you turn to? Para-X Radio. Our knowledgeable host and expert guest can help you find some answers and take a glimpse into the unknown. Para-X Radio. Programming for the open mind.
We all go through life secure in the knowledge of who we are. But what would you do if one day you found out that you grew up in a family that wasn't quite as normal as you were led to believe? You see, the world around us is very complex. It's made up of many layers. And when you start to peel back those layers, either by choice or by accident, you just might discover a hidden truth. The magical world and the mortal worlds are intermingled, with no physical boundary between them. It's all a matter of perception. In Shelley Gordon's case, it's also a matter of destiny. And what she uncovers about herself after her chance encounter with Timothy Titchmarsh, a mysterious little old man with a twinkle in his eye, changed her life completely. He told her of shocking, carefully guarded family secrets that had been unspoken for many generations. But the biggest shock of all was learning that she was not only a witch, but the great-granddaughter of an elite sorceress who tragically died before she could carry out a vital and perilous task that Shelley was now fit to complete. The thought of having to learn the craft, integrate herself into the magical world, and risk her life to finish the task is enough to give anyone a bad case of the collywobbles. Marla Brooks' new fiction book, A Bad Case of the Collywobbles, is now available at Amazon.com in both paperback and Kindle formats. Visit her website at marlabrooks.com to find out more.
Rat, where are you going?
I'm going back to the Paranormal View, back where I belong.
Please, take me with you.
No, I'm through with everything here. I want to see if there's something left in life I haven't explored. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Oh, Rhett, don't run to them. They talk about ghosts and hauntings, UFOs and all kinds of supernatural scary stuff.
You'll never understand, will you, Scarlet?
No!
Well, that's your misfortune.
Rhett, if you go, where shall I go? What shall I do?
Frankly, my dear. Line.
Oh, you gotta be kidding.
That's the Paranormal View with your host, Henry Foister, Jeffrey Gould, and Barbara Duncan, every Saturday night at 8 p.m. Eastern, exclusively on the Para-X Radio Network.
There's a darkness in the hallway. Voices that seem to come from nowhere. Alone at night, there is a feeling that something or someone is near. Where can you go? Who can you turn to? Para-X Radio. Our knowledgeable host and expert guest can help you find some answers and take a glimpse into the unknown. Para-X Radio. Programming for the open mind.
And welcome back, everybody, right here to the Paranormal View on the Para-X Radio Network. I want to thank everybody for being with us tonight. Those listening in the chat room and those listening from around the world, we appreciate each and every one. We have with us Jeffrey Gould.
Hello.
And we have Barbara Duncan. And I want to welcome back Bruce Tango.
Yellow.
Yellow, huh? We've got a nice crowd in here tonight. Everybody wanted to come and listen to Bruce, so...
Let me check. Hold on a minute, Henry. Let me check to see who's in here. I don't know if I owe any of these people money or not. Let me see.
Oh.
I think I'm safe.
Oh, you think you're safe?
All right. I might have had to run real quick, Henry.
Oh, okay. what place would you really like to go investigate that you haven't?
You know, we're asked that all the time when we do events. Where's the place? We had a chance to go anywhere. My place would be the Colosseum in Italy.
Oh, yeah.
I would love to investigate that place. And most people don't think about that, but there's not too many places on the face of the earth that there was more death and misery. And I don't know if I'll ever get there, but it's on my bucket list. I mean, historically wise, I would love to see that place. It's a dream of mine. I actually thought about, trying to set something up to go there. It might be a little difficult, but we'll see what happens.
That and Paveglia Island off the coast of Venice. That's one that, I would dearly love to see, if not go to.
Yeah.
Is that one? It's kind of like deserted,
yes,
and overgrown,
the one,
but
Plague
there's things. Yeah. I don't know. Do you think there's still problems with the island?
Nobody will go there.
Plagues?
Still nobody will go there.
I wonder why.
I'd go, but I'd have to wear, I probably have to wear a suit or something. I don't know. I don't want to go there and catch something.
A mask and, taped all up. Be worse than Sheldon, wouldn't it?
Yeah. And a bottle of Windex.
And a bottle of Windex.
Well, that brings it to a point because normally when they're doing episodes now, they're doing more public areas as opposed to private residents. And most of them are still occupied. You don't go into the abandoned places much, do you?
What do you mean?
To investigate. There's some places like, Eastern State Penitentiary, which is pretty run down. And I don't know if you went to Waverly or not.
Oh, I've been to Waverly, but what's the question about those places?
Yeah, whether or not you feel the difference between the two areas, whether having people around constantly as opposed to places that are abandoned makes a difference in the type of activity?
In my opinion, Barb, and I say this all the time, is a lot of people and investigators, now again, this is my opinion, but a lot of investors think because there's a lot of people that have been in one place doing an investigation or has been done too much that things die out. I personally don't believe that. I do an event every year, and you guys got to try to make it down there one time. In Cape May, New Jersey, which is the oldest resort in the country, a place called the Southern Mansion. And people would say, how many people are going to be there? If there's a lot of people, you're not going to get anything. That's not true. I've been downstairs where I usually do the EVP sessions. I've had 110 people down there, and in a half hour, we got 6 clear responses to the questions that astounded everybody. I've had as little as 3 or 4 people down there. And this is a total honest statement. I've done in that room probably 140 EVP sessions over the years, and I've always gotten something. And like I said, the amount of people vary from 4 to over 100 people. It's just, I just feel if they want to, I think it has a lot to do with the people or people involved, but if they want to be known, if they want to do something, maybe they like crowds, maybe some ghosts don't, but I don't think the number of people or as many times as you've done a place has anything to do with the amount of evidence you might get or activity. That's just my opinion, mind you.
Well, I think it's probably the same of being around people who try to provoke. I'd want to be out of there as fast as possible.
Yeah. Most people don't provoke. I won't get into this, but there might be certain times. I mean, like I said, I'm not going to get into it, Barb, but there might be certain times where you might want to provoke, but the circumstances have to fit doing that. But as a rule, we don't provoke too much. But during the circumstances, depending if something's happening in the building and it's not good, and there's the thing that we're looking for is not a pleasant thing, and evil, if you will. If you have to provoke to see if it's there or what it is, it might be considered. I wouldn't be afraid to do it. I'm not saying people should do that, but depending on the circumstances, and you might, but normally 99% of the time, it's not a good idea to provoke.
You see, that to me is where the policeman's background comes in really handy, when you can read people or read a situation to know when's the right time.
Yeah. Well, if we're trying to get down, if we're trying to find something, and this something might be bad or evil, if you will, and if it takes some provoking to get to it or bring it to the surface, then I could see it. If you understand what I'm saying, but most of the time, I would, sure. You wouldn't want to do this. Okay. Usually you don't really have to provoke because, they'll make themselves known one way or the other.
Or they'll walk out too.
Yeah. I might be more scary than they are, They say, well, I'm not going to mess with this guy, Because I actually tell children, and I have a lot of people, some bring their kids, what do I do with their, what do I tell my kid and everything? And I talk to children. And this is going to sound ridiculous, but it's actually the truth. I've told kids, I said, if it's at night or you're having a situation and you see something or something's frightening you, I want you to sing this song. And it's I love you, you love me, we're a happy family. The old Barney song. Now, if I was an evil entity and I was trying to scare a kid and he started singing that, I'd be aggravated as hell.
Yeah?
I'd be shaking my head. So, I actually have the kids sing it with me, and the parents are laughing, and they said that was ridiculous as it sounds. It's not a bad idea. And to be honest, it isn't,
A rock with a chalk.
As simplistic as it sounds, and if you are dealing with something bad that thrives on people being afraid, and you sing that song, it might help you. Maybe it won't. It ain't going to hurt you. You're there anyway. Sing it. Sing the old Barney song.
I was going to ask you what Bruce Tango today would have told very young Bruce Tango when he saw that entity. If he could give that child advice, what would he say?
Well, you'd probably be hearing me sing the Barney song. But it wasn't created yet. But I was very afraid. I was frightened out of my mind. And I would try to say, please don't show it any fear. But, it's a different time, different place, People always ask me, are you afraid of ghosts? And I says, no. I says, unfortunately, it's the people living that you have to be afraid of. And it's unfortunate, but it's true, I would tell him to, just be brave. I mean, it's easy to say, yell at the thing. I might have yelled at the thing, get away from me. Try to be brave, but that's the only thing you can do, because I was frightened out of my wits.
Wow. Now, Rock with a Shock said that provoking is different from offering up a challenge, which is something you do not want to do. I don't know. I think Steve challenged Dave quite often, didn't he?
What do you mean, my son? Or what are you talking about?
Yeah, no, he on the show, he was all the time.
My son took the heart, but I during my career I had a lot of training, but there's actually a lot of bugs you can eat that are not going to harm you and that are high in protein. It's survival training, but my son's made a lot of money off of Steve, and Steve actually, he'll tell you, he actually pays up. My son made quite a bit of money. I wouldn't do some of the things that he did.
Oh no!
crawl underneath that with this. I am like Steve. People find this funny, or think it's because the things that I've been involved in over the years and in my career, I do not like spiders either. All right, I rather fight 10 guys in an alley the best with spiders, it's funny. We were at an event a few years back, and there was a guy there with all these creatures that had a tarantula. And I always, my whole life, I've challenged myself. And I actually held the tarantula in my hand. But I told the guy, I said, listen, if it starts moving, take it right away, because I'll fling it.
Ah.
He says, I will. So he puts it in my hand, and I'm a little nervous. This was a big tarantula. And then, I'm okay, and I'm like 10 seconds, 15 seconds. Then he starts moving up my arm. And I'm telling the guy, take him. And he's laughing. And I says, take him or I'll fling it, I can see me flinging it across the room and landing on some bald-headed guy. He could use it as a toupee, But Steve, when I went back and told him, that I did that, they didn't believe me. And stupid me, I forgot to have somebody take a picture because I actually, held the darn thing. It's one of the funniest, the Three Stooges, when they do that courtroom scene, when Larry's playing the violin, it takes the toupee off. Okay. It's a tarantula. That cracks me up. And then he goes, it's a divot. Mo calls it a divot.
Divot.
Yeah. That was funny. I go off in tangents.
I'm not a fan. No worries. I'm not a fan of spiders. I actually got over my childhood arachnophobia. I don't like them, but for some reason, tarantulas have a pass because they just seem like mice with extra legs, and they have this very hypnotic way of walking, which is very cool. And of course, I grew up on 50s horror movies, and they used tarantulas right and left. But I can see where, I would be a little concerned having them on my bare flesh. I have no problem with them going up like my shirt sleeves or anything like that. But I actually took some footage of my high school tarantula on this miniature city set and just filmed it walking around just as an exercise for my college film course. And when I showed the footage to the class, and it looks absolutely ridiculous because the cityscape is completely fake and it's a toy and it's clearly nonsense and this tarantula is just walking around on it. They were climbing the walls. They could not handle the visual aspect of seeing this, large spider just walking around and knocking over these little toys. And I just thought, what?
Yeah, Jeff, a lot of people, I could watch. I could watch it on television. I could watch all the shows. I find them fascinating. I don't like the way they look. They're an ugly ugly creature, and they look evil. I've gotten better over the years, but I still fear them. But I know people that won't even watch them on television and stuff like that. And, you know, I've been frightened out of my wits. You know, but I can watch them on TV and I can, you know, watch the shows. But I don't like them, you know, at all. And people send me stuff all the time on my Facebook. You know, my sister, my youngest sister, when she used to pick the little daddy long legs up and chase me around, you know, and I felt like a little, you know, like a wimp, you know, and people are laughing. But, you know what I found out about daddy long legs? They are probably one of the most poisonous spiders on the face of the earth. Did you know that?
I did not know that.
But,
really?
Yeah, but they can't, their fangs aren't, they can't penetrate our skin, so we're safe. But supposedly their venom is probably one of the worst on the face of the earth.
I thought usually you almost had to be allergic to specific spider venom to have a reaction.
I don't know. I saw the movies too, Henry, you know. I mean, Jeff, you get bit by a spider and you start
super
crawling up the walls. Yeah, start crawling up the walls and stuff, you know.
There was a little cartoon strip I saw where somebody says, "Oh, wow, I was just bit by a radioactive spider. I'll have superpowers." And next panel, he's lying dead.
Oh, yeah. I remember working when I was about 17 years old. I was working in this building, stocking stuff. And here comes this big, fat spider. And I stepped on it. Little did I know it was pregnant, and that thousands of little spiders came out. And all I thought about for weeks was all them thousands of spiders are going to grow old.
Remember.
And get bigger and come after me. You know. It was frightening. I mean, thousands. She was pregnant, and that belly, that big belly, was all her babies. I mean, she died, but a lot of her kids survived.
What, did you step on it with football cleats? You should have flattened the whole thing.
I thought I did, but a bunch of them survived.
Ah.
And they scattered. Run. And I had to work in that place.
Nice.
I wanted to burn the joint down.
Me and spiders do not get along. I see one, it's around in my house. You might as well put up a tombstone because it's going to be dead one way or the other.
I'm telling you, I usually don't tell people. Now a lot of people know, but because people like to mess around with you, you know. But if you're going to mess with me, remember, I'm going to get even.
Well, yeah, there's a challenge for both all of you now. That's the North Carolina restaurant has a tarantula burger.
I see with that had a spider on the burger, didn't it? Deep fried.
That's something. I know. I think it's in the Amazon where one of the tribes actually eat tarantulas, and they're supposed to taste just like crab, you know, because they are, believe it or not, in the same family. And I love crab. I love crab, you know, like bluefin crab and stuff like that. But I wouldn't eat the spider. But it's supposed to taste like crab.
You were gonna say it tastes like chicken.
But I ain't gonna go there. Humans are supposed to taste like chicken. And don't ask me how I know that, because I don't. This show is going on into a different, altogether different direction.
Well, they're having fun with it in the chat room, that's for sure.
Oh, that's good. That's good. Now I'm going to dream about them tonight. Thank you very much. Who brought it up? Was it me?
You.
Was it me or one of you guys? Yeah,
it was
me. I should know better. Now I'm going to wake up and.
have spiders with red faces.
Oh, it's funny that
Oh, geez, that's what I mean.
Spider things, and you have to get into attics and cellars and what have you with spiders in them.
Oh yeah.
Well, I tell this story years ago on a job, and I'll make this a long story short. Every time I say that, it takes about 15 minutes for me to tell a story. But there was a shooting. I was chasing the guy that did the shooting. He went into a home and into the basement, and I followed him in the basement. Now, and I didn't have my flashlight with me, and it was dark. Now, this guy had just shot, and I forget if the person survived or not, but he was pretty bad, or he might have even died. So I'm down there, and I have my gun drawn, and then here comes my partner a few minutes later, and I'm trying to find this guy. I know he's down there, and then my partner always had his flashlight day and night on his belt. I didn't do that. I travel light. And he put the flashlight on, and what happened was when he illuminated the area I was in, all there was spider webs and hundreds of spiders all around me. And I start breaking into a sweat. And my partner says, Bruce, what's the matter? He says, Bruce, are you okay? I says, it's these freaking spiders. There's a guy down in the basement with a gun, and I'm worried about the spiders. You know, but you got to realize that, you know, illuminated web spiders behind me, in front of me, on the side. Man, we caught the guy, but I couldn't wait to get out of there. It was terrible.
Yeah, I think if he was locked up or blocked into the basement, I'd have let him stay down there.
I told him, I said, you son of a gun, you better come out. You better come out. And my partner's looking at me because I'm sweating bullets because of the spiders, that guy. You know, I'll take care of the guy, but, you know, and you get the heebie-jeebies because you don't know what's crawling around. Henry, I'm telling you, there was hundreds of spiders all over the place. And I said, what am I doing here? It's my worst nightmare.
Right.
And I'm not even thinking about the guy with the gun. I'm thinking about the spiders. Damn spiders are going to get me killed.
they was just looking for a big meal.
Yeah. Boy, there's another place I wanted to burn down.
Well, what's been the best piece of evidence that you've gotten when you've investigated?
You mean on a show or personally or what?
Just EVP or?
Like I said, Andy, I've had hundreds and hundreds of great EVPs. And direct answers, you know, which tells you that most likely it's an intelligent. I'll tell you something that happened this past summer down at the Southern Mansion in Cape May. And again, you guys ever want to come down here, just come on down. Let me know you're coming. And like I said, it's a beautiful, beautiful mansion. And, but it's very, very, probably one of the most active places I've ever been. So we're doing, this past summer, I go down here during the summer since we did the show there for the past 8 years. I go down once a week. I do a show at night. And the last thing we do is we do a half-hour EVP session and we play it back. So this one particular night, I must have had about 40 people down there with me and, people asking questions. And this one woman who had her two daughters with her, teenagers, she said, Mom, are you okay? Are you okay? Or how are you? And we didn't hear anything. People ask questions. So we played it back, and we got quite a few, but when I played it back with the speakers going, you heard the woman say, Mama, are you okay? And you heard a woman's voice said, I am doing fine. And just like you heard me, that's how you heard it on the tape. And wow. Everybody was astounded. And the woman just got up and wouldn't stop hugging me. And she was crying and the kids were crying. And I said, I didn't do anything. I said, no, but it happened. And you told us that you could ask questions like that. And I said, and she said, that was my mom. She passed away just recently. And the kids were crying. And I almost was in tears. And there was a lot of people in the audience that were in tears because he says, that was my mom's voice. And we played it a bunch of times. And she hugged me, all night. And it was emotional. It was probably one of the most emotional EVP sessions I ever had. And there's been a lot of people that have never had as a booster, I've never experienced anything. I says, well, hopefully tonight you will. And a lot of the people, those people, even scientists that were skeptics, walked away saying there's something to this. I said, there sure is. So I don't know what the answer is. I don't know if we'll ever get the answers. And I don't know if we're meant to have the answers. But these things happen, and nobody really knows why. Tell you they know, they're not being truthful because it's a guessing game. It's a theory, and that's all we go by is guessing in theories, that was an interesting night.
Wow. Have you, you've done Hillview Manor before, haven't you?
Yes. In fact, that's the first time I met you, Henry.
Right. That's where it was at. Sure was.
Yeah. And I actually went on the show, I did a little bit of radio for you that night.
Yes. Because I usually do my show live when we go there. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that was nice, and that was a great place too. Some of the EVPs that I got there were fantastic, and this going downstairs in the basement was chilling because. If you've been down there, and if you remember, they have all belongings to people that have passed.
Right.
And I spent a lot of time down there and did some EVPs. And, with the theory being when you connect it to some of your belongings, so some really cool stuff happened down there. But I like that place. I haven't been there in a little while, but.
Yeah, it's a few years since I've been there. I'd like to go back. Maybe we could get a bunch of people and have an event there or something.
Sounds good.
Yeah. Did you ever hear, there have been two times that I've caught it where all of a sudden you'll hear this woman scream, and you can hear it on two and three floors at a time. Have you ever heard her scream?
To be honest, Henry, I haven't experienced that yet. I've had, like I said, a lot happen, but I haven't heard the woman scream, no.
Okay, I caught that. And upstairs where they had the, supposedly where the lunchroom was, where the people would come in to get their food and stuff.
Right.
I was real sick one night after the show, and we'd been up there earlier. One of the people that took us around and was telling us about the place. And they said, if you stand where the people did the serving, you wouldn't get anything. But if you stood like where the people would be coming down the line, you would get something. I went up there and I was sick. I had a fever, wasn't feeling good, sore throat. And I just asked, I said, I don't feel good, got a sore throat. I said, do you have any hot coffee? In a few seconds, it picks up. Yeah.
yeah.
Just plain as day.
Yeah, that's cool. Oh, absolutely. Yeah, that's cool. I was in that section. That's when I did an event there year. That, I think it was that year that, that I met you. I was in that area, and you know, it was pretty good.
Mm-hmm. And we'll maybe we can set something up and talk to them, see what we can get going, maybe.
Sounds good. I think there's different owners now than when I was there. Am I correct?
There is. Yeah. There's a couple other people that's actually kind of oversees it and everything. She's real good to work with. Usually I'll go there and do my show and they'll have everything set up for me. And they really take good care of me. So I can't complain about
that.
Yeah. So, but
I know they had contacted me and for some reason I couldn't make it, but I know they do have events there. So, but yeah, I'd love to go back there. I enjoyed going to that place. It's very active.
Sure is. Our time's kind of just whizzing right on by. Barbara, Jeff, you guys got some stuff you wanted to
ask? Well, bring it back full circle. For the event at the Octagon House, what can people expect when they go there? What's going to happen?
Well, we're going to be that. It's all on that site. Again, octagongh.eventbrite.com. We're going to be meeting at a library, just a few minutes down the street. And then we'll come back, we'll break into groups, and everybody will get a chance to investigate with everybody. I'm probably going to be downstairs doing EVP sessions. And every time a group will come with me, we'll sit for a few minutes and do EVP sessions and see what we get. And then everybody will have a chance to hang out with Dave and Steve, and we'll get together. The place is beautiful. You know, it's country, and I love country. And like I said, I love the people work there. Billy Bird is one of the nicest guys I've ever met. My friend Keith Fournier, and you know, and their families are just great. And I'm looking forward to it. And, you know, I hope you guys can make it. And we'll talk about that after the show's over. And you know, it's gonna be a good time. And I've had some great experiences there. Again, the one with the Shadow Man, or the shadow figure, and I've done a bunch of EVP sessions, and you know, there's a little girl that passed away there that her dress caught on fire, and she's seen and heard quite a bit there.
Wow. So how many rooms are in the Octagon Hall?
I'm trying to remember, honey. There's like the basement. We're going to do something outside also. Be it the cemetery, or there's a few other buildings there, but and then there's two rooms, the main floor and the top floor, and 1, 2, 3, 4. I think there's like at least five rooms on each floor, something like that.
Wow, that's pretty interesting.
More than enough room, you know. When you look at the picture of the building, it looks smallest, but there's a lot of room inside, and it, like I said, I've done events there and with a lot of people, and it was absolutely fine. You know, I remember one EVP session, I had the ball in the middle of the floor and asked the little girl if she would move the ball, and believe it or not, she did. So that was pretty cool.
Do you have a set amount of tickets that you have up for the event?
I believe so. I don't know exactly how many, but, you know, we're looking, you know, at, maybe 75, 80, you know, for the day or whatever, if we get that many. I haven't checked it. I don't know where we're at right now. So we'll see.
Okay.
We got about 4 weeks to go.
All right. Very interesting. So, that's a good event. If you want to go to it, you can, do the event with Bruce Tango, Dave Tango, and Steve Gonzalez. So, interesting place. And it's in Frankfort, Kentucky.
Franklin, Kentucky.
Franklin, Kentucky. I don't know why I said Frankfort.
Okay. I was close enough, Henry.
Yeah, just a little stump, right?
No problem, pal.
Anyway. All right. So what's some of the good EVPs that you've gotten at the place?
Well, it's been a while, Henry. I can't remember, but I remember we heard. I remember hearing a little girl talking and singing, and those I remember. And we had some responses by a male. I wouldn't call this provoking, but when we did last time I was there, we were in a room and. You know, obviously, the Confederates were there most of the time. So were the federal troops, but was used as a hospital. But, I would comment because they had a Confederate flag in the room. And I had threatened, I said, I think I'm going to tear the flag, the Confederate flag down, you know, because I'm a Yankee. And, I can't remember exactly, to be honest with you, I can't remember exactly what the response was, but I don't think it was very good. But so, you know, that was the extent of provoking, if you will, but not really. I was just trying to get a rise out of them, and I believe I did. So it's a very active, you know, exciting place to be, and a lot of facts and, you know, it's a wonderful place. And, you know, some people think that the guy, Andrew Jackson Caldwell, that there might be some reason why he made it eight sides, a metaphysical side of it, if you will. And, I'm looking into it, and I think some other people are, but I don't know if that's the case, but I'm going to be asking some more questions when I get there.
Yeah, I'm curious. There's a cemetery there. Was it like the family cemetery or was it more of a community cemetery?
There's a slave cemetery there. That was pretty cool too. And I think family's buried there too. You know, it's been a while since I've been there. And but the slave cemetery is pretty cool. And obviously that's separate from where the family is. And but, you know, very, very wonderful historic place. You know, Mr. Caldwell was, obviously pro-Confederate. And then, there was like at one point thousands troops stayed there and were taken care of there. And then a few weeks later, the federal troops came and they more or less did a lot of killed the cows and, you know, roughed up people and did a lot of damage. And they threatened to burn the place down. And Mr. Caldwell told the colonel, he says, that's okay, go ahead and do it. He says, when my brother gets back, he said, I'm sure he's going to get even with you. So they decided not to do it. He was a tough son of a gun, different times, but wasn't a pleasant time.
We got one final question from Chad, and it's a good one. Of all the investigations that you've done, have there been any that have left you just stumped for an answer?
Not really. I more or less, you know, I don't know if I'm correct, but I usually have an idea of why or when, or I come up with a theory. You know, who knows if I'm right, Barb, but I do come up with a theory, and most of them make sense. I've done favors for people that have had problems, and I usually go in and I usually come up with something or have an idea of why things are happening. You know, I'm actually asked by many police officers from all over the United States and in my area that are having problems or activity that need answers. And they, you know, they like to keep it quiet. And they turn to me, which I'm, you know, I'm humbly, I'm honored that they would ask me. And depending on the situation, you know, I'll try to make time to help them out. And especially if it involves children. And that's usually when I get my button gear.
That ghost would have gotten away with it if it hadn't been for that pesky Bruce Tango.
Yeah. I'm a son of a gun.
Got one more quick one from Cater. And we only got just a couple of minutes left. He wants to know if you have plans on going overseas for any investigations.
Don't have plans, but I'd be open to it. Like I said, you know, my dream investigation, even if it's just an historical visit, I would love to go see the Colosseum in Rome.
All right.
Just to go down into those catacombs where all them people died, and in the arena where they died, I would love to set something up at that place.
Sounds like set something up with Josh Gates, destination, and go over there and see what's over there.
I don't want him stealing my idea. I'm going to that place. I want to be the man. I would really love it.
All right. Well, we can open up an account and start taking donations so Bruce can go.
If I live long enough, I'd probably be 103 by the time we made enough of money in the end of those.
You know, that's funny. If you go over there to do an investigation, you're asking questions in English, and probably all the Romans spoke completely different language. Do you think that they would understand what you're asking?
Who knows? You know, that question's asked a lot. You know, when you're in a different country, a lot of people will hear answers in their own language. But sometimes you would hear. I definitely would have somebody that speaks Italian. Now, you know, I probably could understand some words. I mean, I'm Italian. I'm half Italian, half Irish. You know, what a mixture. But that's what I am. But if I ever would go there, I would definitely have somebody that with me that spoke the language, because I would think that their answers, you know, would be most of them might be Italian, but like you said, a lot of the gladiators were of different races and such. Mm-hmm. So depending on what we find, you know, I would probably have to go and find some, you know, people that went into these different languages once I got an idea of what they were saying.
And considering it's ancient Rome, it could be all Greek to you.
All right.
That was a good one, Jeff.
Thank you.
It could be Greek too. You don't know.
That's what I'm saying.
We are just about out of time. So I want to thank Bruce for taking the time to be with us tonight. Of course, you're welcome to come back anytime. You're always a great guest. I want you to tell everybody real quick, like how they can follow you on Facebook, or if you have other sites, and all the other good stuff that you're doing.
Like I said, we're doing this event on May 26th in Franklin, Kentucky. Excuse me, at Octagon Hall. So if there's anybody in that area, if you know anybody in the area, you know, come on down and say hello. To be an exciting time. Anybody could friend me on Facebook. I have some other Facebook sites, but you know, I ain't worried about it right now.
Right.
Just contact me on Facebook, friend me, and that's more or less whatever I'm doing. I usually put up there. And it's been a pleasure being with you guys. You I really enjoyed it.
We want you to stay on for a few minutes till we're off, and we'll talk with you for a couple of minutes.
Okay.
Check us all out, Jeff. Where?
Yes, at our official website, theparanormalview.com. You can go to facebook.com/theparanormalview, all one word. Feel free to like our page. All sorts of interesting articles throughout the week. My own website is jeffgould.net, GeoffGould.net. And I'm an actor, so I got all kinds of weird stuff. But if you go to my website and add /paranormal.htm, you can look at my experiences I've had. And I'm on, you can, follow me on Twitter and raise, that was quick.
You've been listening to The Paranormal View on the Para-X Radio Network. Join us again next week at the same time for more of The Paranormal.